Ready. Today's going to be a little bit different. What I'm going to be sharing after we had, I think, some real challenges from the Word last week out of the book of Romans. So we're lightening it up a little bit today. Is that okay? I'm sure it is. Yeah. Folks, I want to start off, first of all, with a special reminder. This is a special reminder that Tuesday is Valentine's Day. Now, I want to repeat that. Don't forget it. I'm talking to the guys here today. Don't forget it. How do I know that you shouldn't forget it? I won't answer that question. All right. Yes, yeah, don't forget birthdays. I'm getting it. Already I'm getting it. Don't forget birthdays either. Was that aimed at me, my darling? Yeah. But folks, today, the title of our message is it's responding to Valentine's Day. Responding to Valentine's Day. You know, am I right in saying that this thing of Valentine's Day, you know, it's all about love? It really is all about love. And I know, you know, we have some weird interpretations and weird stories about what Valentine's Day is all about. So this morning, I'm going to be sharing on the topic of love, right? What the Word says. But amongst all of that, I'm going to be kind of weaving in the story of Valentine, that we get an understanding of what it really is all about. Just the history of it and why do we gather to, or why do we even speak about it? You know, 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. Prophecies will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. Now verse 13 says, so now faith, first of all, is faith important? The Word says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is very important. Now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. So, like I said, you know, have you ever wondered how Valentine first got started, you know, what it was all about, and why is it called Valentine's Day, and what is the reason for all of that? You know, sometimes when, you know, when we don't know the history of stuff, immediately many of us can stand up and say, listen, you know, this thing is, we shouldn't even speak about it in church. But I want to speak about it. I want to give us a story of Valentine. So here's the story. Approximately 250 years after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was a priest by the name of Valentine, and he lived in Rome during the reign of Emperor Claudius, Claudius was committed to rebuilding the once great Roman army. So, you know, he's now the emperor, and he's now got a job to do. He wants to build up that great army, that Roman army again. However, he believed it was important for men to volunteer for armed service, rather than drafting men into service against their own will. But given a choice, most young men in the Roman Empire refused to serve, right? They would rather stay at home with their wives and their children than go into battle. Duh. I'm just saying. Really? Huh? Put yourself in that position. Would you rather go off into battle, right, knowing there's a good chance that you're not coming back? Or would you rather just spend time with your family, with your wife and your children, and so on? Anyway, Claudius came to believe that only single men would volunteer for service. So he issued a royal edict that banned all future marriages. All future marriages. Well, if we ban all future marriages, then we're just going to have single guys. And of course, single guys, they're going to want to go to war. They're going to get involved in battle. So he actually outlawed weddings in the Roman Empire, earning himself a nickname of Claudius the Cruel. How's that? He's rather cruel, isn't it? Huh? What he did. Valentine thought this was ridiculous, right? So one of his favorite duties as a priest was to marry people. So after the Emperor Claudius passed his law, Valentine secretly continued performing marriage ceremonies. He would whisper the words of the ceremony while listening for the soldiers on the steps outside. How's that for courage, folks? I'm going to read some more of this story as we progress, you know, during the course of this meeting here this morning. But the first thing here is, like, number one on how Christians should respond to Valentine's Day is stand up for truth. We need to be men and women who stand up for truth and proclaim the gospel of God's love. There's a responsibility on each and every single one of us to do that, to proclaim the gospel. Okay? And the gospel is really a gospel of love. We see in Psalm 40, verse 9, it says, I will announce the good news of righteousness among the assembled for worship. I will not close my lips. You know that, O Lord. I have not buried your righteousness deep in my heart. Now watch what he says. I've been outspoken about your faithfulness and your salvation. I've been outspoken about your faithfulness, Lord, and your salvation. Now, folks, this is something that we all should be doing. Are we outspoken about salvation? Are we those that are going out into this lost and dying world and telling the unsaved about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, speaking to them and telling them about their eternity without Christ? Huh? Do we do this? Then he goes on to say, I've not hidden your mercy and your truth from the assembled for worship. So when people gather together in worship, he's saying, you know, I didn't hide your mercy and the truth about you from people as people gather to worship you. And again, does this describe us? Does it describe us? Folks, sometimes it's dangerous to stand up against things, especially in the world that we are living in right now. It is dangerous to stand up against things. Where even as a pastor, you know, I mean, you can just land up, maybe not in this country as yet, but you can, just by saying the wrong stuff, by you know, not marrying certain people, you find yourself in jail. By not making a cake for somebody that feels that, you know, you've got something against them, you can end up in jail, you can be fined, all types of things. We are now living in a world where there is a culture of this cancelled whatever you can. And we need to be mindful of this. And that's why I'm saying sometimes it's dangerous for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to stand up for injustice, to stand up for hatred. It can be dangerous for us. It can be dangerous if we stand up against prejudice, right? Am I right? Okay. And sometimes it's difficult to oppose the world and this world system. We need to be courageous in these times that we are living right now. Really courageous. Okay. Sometimes it's difficult to proclaim the truth about the love of God. I'm just saying. These are the times that we are living in right now. And it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. We need to be courageous. But folks, when I say we need to be courageous, we need to make sure that we are walking a very close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. That we use insight and wisdom in terms of how we communicate. Okay? And this is basically, you know, what happened to this St. Valentine's all those years ago, right? And this, folks, is what we are called to do today. We are called to this. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, the message about the cross is nonsense to those who are being destroyed. Isn't that amazing, right? Telling people about Jesus, when you tell them about Jesus, to them, to many, many people, the unsaved people, it is nonsense. When you start to present the truth of the gospel of the King of Kings, to them it's nonsense, to many of them. But your job and my job is to tell them. And I'm going to share, because there's an attitude behind this that we need to be mindful of, and I'm going to speak about this right, you know, now. But we need to be those that are bold, that we share the truth of the gospel, remembering that's our side of it, and then it's up to God, the Holy Spirit, first, you know, to prepare the heart of the person that we are ministering to. Right? That's not our job. Don't be offended if when you are presenting the gospel with the right attitude and the right approach that people reject you. You might be the one that has just planted the seed. Somebody else will water it. Somebody else will reap. And you might be the one that when you actually speak it out, that you are the one that is actually reaping, because somebody else has planted the seed and somebody else has watered. Amen? So, folks, don't be concerned about, you know, sharing the truth. The truth is something that we need to do. And really, the rest is up to the Holy Spirit. So it says, the message about the cross is nonsense to those who are being destroyed, but it is God's power to us who are being saved. The power of God, the gospel. So you can expect, listen here, expect opposition. Expect opposition from the unsaved, from people that don't know Jesus. Because what it says here is that our message to them is foolishness. But don't you worry about that. Right? Our job is to tell them. Again, Holy Spirit's job is to make sure that there's a shifting that takes place in the heart of that individual. Why? Because God loves them so much that He gave His only begotten Son. So it's not always going to be easy to stand up for Jesus. But I need to say, because it's not easy, don't make that the excuse that we remain silent. Just because it's not easy. We still have to do what the Lord has told us to do. In Romans 1, verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we have to look at ourselves, folks, and be honest. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Why is it we are not telling people about Jesus as often as we should? I really believe we need to sometimes take stock of ourselves and our walk with the Lord. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't ever be ashamed. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So this good news, this gospel is all about love. That's what it is. It's about love. The love of God. And it's quite interesting because Paul, he actually explains how this boldness, you know, we need to be bold. He explains in Romans 5, verse 5, how this boldness comes to us. How do we get this boldness? I want to be bold for Jesus. This is what he says. We're not ashamed to have this confidence. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have the Holy Spirit. Folks, the difference between us and the world is that we have God living on the inside of us. And it's God's desire that each and every single person that He's created, that they too may receive salvation, that they too may have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of them. So it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that this agape love of God is actually poured into us. Huh? Agape love. That's that God kind of love. So we need to just be willing to go and tell people about the love of Jesus wherever we go. But now I want to speak about how we do it, our approach. Never, ever, ever try to ram scriptures down people's throats. I know we're so tempted. Okay, it's because we love them so much. We want to see them get born again. But folks, we have to be very, very mindful and careful how we do it. Right? Jesus said in John 3:17, God sent his son into the world not to condemn. Not to condemn. Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But unfortunately, there are many Christians that really do believe that they're doing the right thing. Well, they're half doing the right thing, but the wrong attitude. We need to speak. We need to tell them. We need to make sure we're doing that. So there are many Christians believe they're doing the right thing, but many are going out there and actually shaking a judgmental finger at those who are not saved. And this is not the way the Lord wants it to be, okay? So I'm saying, folks, don't do it like that. Right? Don't do it like that. Don't hit people over the head with a bunch of Bible verses. You know, don't go and tell them, well, if you don't listen to what I'm saying, you're going to hell. Okay. Listen, here's the key. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth. I'm not saying that we shouldn't tell people, but we need to share and speak the truth in love, because the gospel is a message of love, right? And in fact, if ever you ever try to define God, if we try to, it would be the best definition ever of God would be, God is love. Is that right? God so loved the world. So loved the world. Who's the world? Those people that don't know him. You and I were part of the world at one point. But his incredible love has drawn us in. He so loved the world. Jesus loved them so much, loved us so much, that he was prepared to die for us. And I've said this many times, and I want to say it again, because it ties in with what I'm trying to share this morning. We so often hear about the spilt blood of Jesus. There's songs about the spilt blood of Jesus. But spilt implies that it was an accident. It is the shed blood. Jesus chose to die for us. Isn't that amazing? Huh? And the other thing is this, and this is so important, okay? That if the people that we are ministering to and sharing the gospel with, right, if they don't see the love of God in us when we're doing it, when we're sharing, I'm telling you, we're not going to convince them. We're not going to convince them. So it is like Jesus said, you know, we share the truth, but our attitude is with all that attitude of love. Amen. Is that okay? Clear. Should we get back to Valentine? The Valentine story, here we go. Let's get back to old Val. One night, Valentine, he did hear footsteps at the door. And he was busy marrying a couple, right? The couple that he was marrying escaped, but he was caught and he was thrown into jail. And you know what he was sentenced to? Death. Sentenced to death. Why? Because he is doing, I mean, marriage is scriptural, right? And he just believed that he needed to make sure that he continued to do the right thing and marry people. So he was sentenced to death. And this brings me to my second point on how Christians, us believers, should respond to Valentine's Day. This thing of dying to self for the sake of others. All right? Folks, this demonstrates love. Dying to self. You know, it says in John 15:13, it says, the greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends. Now, it's quite interesting, you know, when you sit down with couples that are about to be married, you go maybe through premarital counseling and you're spending time with this lovely couple. But one thing you always see, if you ask the question about well, you know, are you prepared to die for this person? Always they will say, most definitely. You know, I just love you so. I would die for you. I would die for you. Huh? You wouldn't say so by our divorce stats in the country. Am I right? But at that moment in time, they're prepared to die for one another. But you know what? We may never be in a position where we actually have to give our life for another person. I mean, it's unlikely that's going to happen. But let me say that every day we have an opportunity to die to self. To die to self in a way that truly pleases the Lord. Dying to self. Putting the old you down. That new you is so evident. In 1 John 3:16, it says, we understand that, what love is when we realize that Christ gave his life for us. That means we must give our lives for other believers. And like I say, you may not physically choose to die for another person. It's unlikely that that will happen. But we can sure sacrifice our wants and our desires and our needs for another person. Amen? Because that is really a demonstration of love. So this is really placing another person or the other person's feelings above our own feelings. So maybe what we should do here, remember it's Tuesday, guys? Don't miss it. Tuesday, you got that? But maybe this Valentine's Day, that we should sacrifice our wants for what our loved ones want. Isn't that a good idea? Huh? Should we do that? I'm speaking to you, my darling. Oh, yeah. Let's get back to the Valentine story, right? Yeah, so Valentine, try to stay cheerful. I mean, how do you stay cheerful when you've now just got a death sentence because you are doing something that's scriptural? Huh? He tried to stay cheerful. Many of the young couples that he had married came to visit him in jail. They threw flowers and notes up to his window. They wanted him to know that they too believed in love. And one day he received a visit from the daughter of the prison guards. Her father allowed her to visit him in his cell, and they often sat and they talked for hours. She believed that he did the right thing by ignoring the emperor and continuing to do marriage ceremonies. Hey, I mean, I hope it doesn't reach a point when I'm asked to do a marriage that we have to be listening at the door, you know, because you might get the death sentence. I mean, folks, that is just a bit of an example of what we've seen in the times we are living in right now. Is that true? Huh? Well, that brings me to the third point about how us as Christians should respond to Valentine's Day. Give your life totally to Jesus. Give in your life. He gave his life for what he believed in. And let's just give our life totally to Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So when we give our lives to Jesus, one thing's for sure, we're going to be spending eternity in the presence of Almighty God, right? So, okay, so we claim to believe in Jesus and, you know, we are saved and all of those things. And that's very, very important, receiving salvation. But folks, here's the question, and it's an important question because I'm going to tell you and then I'm going to back it up with a scripture, a verse over here. Are we loving people? Are we loving people? You know, Jesus gave us two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. That was the first one. Obviously, that's the important one. But then he gave us the second one. And it's, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, loving people. Do we love people? When we're connecting with people, can they see the love of God in us? Is that visible? Do they see Christ in us? The hope of glory. Okay? Loving God and loving people. Listen to this here. So here's a challenge for us. No,
Sorry, not for us. Here's a challenge for people in other churches. Yeah, we don't have to worry about this, but I'll tell us anyway. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God. How's that? Anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. And folks, when you study that, just meditate on this. This actually can show us how deep our relationship is with the Lord. Because if we truly love God, we're going to be doers of the word and not just hearers. And there will be a demonstration of love towards other people. Huh? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Goes on to say in verse 9, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. Why? So that we might live through him. Are we living through him? Because when it says living through him, we should be emulating him. We should be doing our utmost to ensure that on a daily basis we're becoming more and more like Jesus. That's what he wants from us. We're going to miss the mark big time, all over the place. But we should make sure that we, at least we are striving for that. Amen. So if we are truly living through him, we will walk in love. In 1 John 4:16 it says, so we have come to know and to believe in love that God has for us. Now watch here. God is love. And whoever abides in love, if you're abiding in love, abides in God, and God abides in him. So, folks, this thing of love is actually, it's non-negotiable. It really is a measure, somehow, of our spiritual walk, how we are demonstrating love towards other people. So we have given our lives to Jesus. This is what it's saying over here. And because of that, okay, then we will abide in him. Abide in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So giving your life to Jesus means that we become a new creature. We become a new creation according to the word of God. So what happens when we get born again? We confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and God by his Spirit comes and dwells on the inside of us. And at that point, you become a new creature. You become a new creation. We're different. We start having different desires. Is that true? Listen, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how many of us are in Christ here this morning? If you leave your hand down, I'm having an altar call afterwards. All right. How many of us are, all of us, I hope, and maybe some of us, there might have some people that, you know, haven't received Jesus yet. But it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's the majority of us here this morning, he is a new creation because of what happened there. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we see here that a true born-again believer wants to please Jesus. True? Tell the person next to you, I want to please Jesus. And if your lips didn't move, I saw you. Yeah. Right. So we are believers, so we want to please Jesus. All right? 1 John 5:3. For this is love, the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not a heavy thing for us. They light. That's what it means. The question we should be asking is, what are the commandments? Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question. Okay. 1 John 3:23, it says, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, first thing, and love one another just as he has commanded us. There it is. So, folks, that's it. So we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Is that right? We believe that he came to planet Earth. We believe that he died on that cross. We believe that there was a death, a burial, and there was a resurrection. Right? And we also believe that we should love one another like that scripture I've just read to us, with that agape kind of love. We believe that. So let's start on that one. Let's start on that one now, okay? Which is a demonstration of his love, loving other people. Who wants to know how the Valentine's story ends? Okay, we'll do that next week. Okay, let me just finish off with Valentine. On the day that Valentine was to die, again, why is he going to die? Because he was marrying people. On the day Valentine was going to die, he left her, and this is, of course, the prison guard's daughter. He left her a note thanking her for her friendship and her loyalty. He signed it, "Love from your Valentine." Right? That note started the custom of exchanging love notes on Valentine's Day. It was written on the day that he died, which was February the 14th, 269 AD. A day that was set aside in honor of a man who gave his life for God and for love. Now, every year on this day, people remember St. Valentine, but more importantly, they think about love. Right? So, we don't know much about Valentine and where it comes from, but it is about love. Amen. So, God loved us enough to die for us. St. Valentine loved God enough to die for the truth. He died for the truth about love. He died for the truth about marriage. And he died for the truth about covenantal marriage. So I died. 14th of February. This one. Tuesday. Watch it. May this be a day that we make a decision. Let's start on that day. To start to love people more. And I know we all love people, all right? But you know what? We can all do better. We can all do better. And we can start in our own homes. In our own homes. We can all do better. Start loving people. Let's make a decision on the 14th, which is on Tuesday, that we're going to do that. Let's love them in a way, people generally, that God would truly want us to love them. And like the second commandment, Jesus' second commandment, he said, love your neighbor as we love ourselves. Amen. Amen. Well, there it goes, folks. We have now heard the story of Valentine, and it was woven into a message about love. Isn't God good? Huh? Praise the Lord.